Let's take our Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Glad you're here today. Thank God that the blood was presented. That's how we all got help right there and how we'll get help. Mark chapter 16, we're going to begin reading verse 9 as you turn your Bibles. This deals with the servant's resurrection. This chapter does. The key verse is verse 8 that we read Wednesday night. So they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. If you fear God, you'll fear no man, but if you fear man, you'll never fear God. That's the absolute truth that will guide your life. And as we look, this chapter has 20 verses, 449 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. This chapter at a 4.7 grade level. 4.7, just for this one chapter. And as we start reading verse 9, we notice this. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Could you imagine what life was like for her? And she went and told them that had been with him, and as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had not been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. I want to preach to you on a little simple title called It Is Different Now. It is different now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us gather here in the house of God today. And Lord, we pray, God, that you'll move in this service. Open our eyes to the scripture according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, that you'll show us great and mighty things we know not from the scriptures. Yes. Lord, pray today, God, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that you'd help me preach today, to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we looked at this morning, we see what makes a difference. There's a lot of folks today that hadn't figured this out. But God, through Jesus Christ, makes a difference.
Right.
He is the answer to every question. He's the answer to every prayer.
Right.
He's the one that gives hope to the hopeless,
yes,
light to the darkness.
Right.
He's the one that shows up when nobody else will.
Yes.
He's the one that brings calm after he brings the storm. He's the one that brings the storm after there's calm to remind you he's still the captain of the ship. And that old ship Zion still sails, thank God.
Amen.
Though it looks beaten and battered, don't let that fool you. That thing still sails and will keep on going long past everything in this world is dissolved. And after this whole world's been gone, and after it's been destroyed with fire the second time, it'll still be here.
That's right.
I'm glad to know today of this, that the only way a saved person can never get away from the Lord is this. They'll turn their back on him, but he'll never turn his back on us. And as we look today about what makes a difference, I'm going to show you in verse 9 that the affection of people make a difference. It says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And it says, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Yeah, but we was talking about this the other day. You remember we was talking about how people think that they got an angel on one side that looks like them and a devil on the other side looks like them talking to them. How about you have a row of seven of them sitting over here? Can you imagine what life was like for her? Can you imagine how it's like getting up every day and having to put up with that? Can you imagine when Jesus gave that parable and said that the devil left and they got the place swept and garnished and it brought back its friends with them? That's her right there. Can you imagine the things that they had the bondage over her and dominion over her, and then Jesus showed up and they were all gone? It didn't say he recast them, it said he cast them. He gets the job done. I'm glad to know today that if he runs them off, they can't come back. They may leave of choice for a while, but if he ever gets rid of them, they're gone. You know why? They can't handle him. They can't do nothing with him. They can't run him off.
Yeah.
But he can run them off.
Amen.
And the affection of people looks like this. It's not what she said to him that counted. It's what he said to her. Mm-hmm. You read in other Gospels that she comes up and says, where have you taken him? Presuming him to be the gardener. the keeper of that grave plot there. He said one word that changed everything. He didn't say, ma'am, hey lady, woman. He called her by name. He said, Mary. That one word made the difference. So how'd that make such a difference? Because when he calls your name, that's because he knows you. And when he walks up and says Mary to her, she all of a sudden recognized whom he was. All of a sudden she recognized the one that had been on the cross had now got up from the grave.
Yeah.
The one that they sealed in the tomb was now alive and well.
Right.
I got a question for you, and this is going to be deep, okay? Remember, they took his clothes. What was he wearing? He's wearing clothes. Where'd they come from? The same place yours would come from in the same time. They're the garments of salvation with the robe of righteousness that only the king puts on people. Listen to me. When he spoke to her, she knew exactly who he was. No more was the blood running down his face from the crown of thorns. The crown of thorns was gone. No more was there the stench of a dead body that they had come to anoint for the burying. Now, things were different. And I see it says, and she went, verse 10, and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. Have you ever in your life went to somebody after it, since the day you've been saved, and say, God saved me and he changed my life, and it never affected them at all? You are not in bad company now. Because if her that had been possessed with seven devils went to the crowd that walked with him 3.5 years and said, hey, he's alive and well, and they just kept on crying and mourning that he was gone. How much better do you think you are that every time you open your mouth, it's going to change somebody's life? Listen to me. Don't get down on that. Get up with it. The affection of people changes things.
Yeah.
So you mean her affection didn't change them? I ain't talking about her. I'm talking about her after she encountered him and knew he is alive and well. See, the problem with people is they don't believe he's alive. They kept mourning and weeping over him dying because they did not believe he was alive. He told them, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And they said, not so, Lord. We won't let that happen, but it happened. And when the mob showed up with swords and staves, they fled. They saw him crucified. John in particular was there. The anguish, the agony, the mourning over a death, but he's alive and well.
Right. Amen.
So why didn't they believe? Probably for several reasons, but let me ask you this. Why don't you believe? You say, well, the Lord ain't come up to me like he comes up to Mary, and he's not going to.
Right.
Jesus said, blessed are they that hear about this and have never seen me.
Right.
That's this crowd right here. The day and age you and I live in, we have not seen him, but we will see him one day.
Right.
I'm glad to know I don't have an invitation anymore. There's a difference now. I've been invited to people's houses, but I didn't get to spend the night. I didn't get to go to the refrigerator every time I got thirsty. I didn't get to go to the cabinet and get something every time I wanted to go eat. But where I live, you can do all that. Not you, me, okay? I seen somebody licking their lips in the back, and I thought, I better qualify that statement. So what happened? Ownership.
Right.
Whether you rent to own or own, that's your place. You got a right there. Why? Because somebody paid something for you. And the affection of people, that changes your outlook on him when you realize he's alive and well. When Christ died for our sins, the bill's paid.
Right.
Now listen, I heard Brother Kirsch say that a while ago. He said, y'all ought to be happier knowing the bill's paid.
Amen.
I woke up this morning to a house payment. I thought, can you believe this? On a Sunday morning, here it is in the email right here. I owe a house payment. How dare they on the Lord's Day say I owe them money? You know what they said? We don't care. Send the money.
Yep.
That was it. Argument's over. I lost. I was so depressed, I went and made a cup of coffee and come back and hit the button with not looking at it going, I was so mad about it. How dare they? But you know what? Once he changes your life, you have an affection for people. You know what you'll do? Hit the button so the other three people that live in that house can live there too. And once you get the affection, you realize that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, you go tell the people that don't believe. Once you realize that what he did for you, how he saved your never dying soul, the next step is this: I'll go and tell the Lord. Because not only will you realize how he loved you, you'll love others as he loves them through you.
Yeah.
We're taught of God to love one another.
Yeah.
I don't have to preach to you about love. You already know how to do it.
Right.
If you're saved, you already know. And you know what it really boils down to? Love is not enabling people. Love is this. It's when God enables you to love them in spite of who they are, just like he loved you in spite of who you were and who you are now.
Right.
Affection does that. There's a lot of people that I seen at the emergency room a couple of weeks ago that I knew. And I was sitting there thinking while we were standing there, thank God it's not a full moon. You ever been out there on a full moon before? You might be one of them crazies that go out there a full moon. I don't know. But I know this. That stuff they say about that is so very true. If you ever want a test of how well you walk with the Lord, get a job at the hospital and say, I want the graveyard shift on the full moon night. You'll find out how well you can put up with people. You'll walk away saying, God, please work on me. I need some help with this. It's rough.
Yep.
I went with a policeman one night. He called me and said, brother, I need to talk to you. I said, I'll go talk with you. And we rode around his car. It was a Monday night. Nothing was supposed to be happening. Yeah, right. About that time the call came in, the lady said, go to such and such address. And she sounded like, go to such and such address. I thought, oh, no, that's bad. He said, we got to go somewhere. I said, where's that? He said, this lady that sees UFOs and aliens in her yard.
Uh-oh.
I thought, bless her heart. We get to that house. She said, he's right there. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I thought either she's seeing it and I'm crazy, or I'm not seeing it, she is. But either way, we're going to have to get rid of him. I'll never get this. That cop pulled out his gun and he aimed it over where she pointed. He said, you better leave. And she said, hey, that's right. That's right. She's going, that's right. That's right. He said, I got you, ma'am. And he kind of twirled his gun, put it back in the holster like he was Marshall Dillon. He said, glad to serve you, ma'am. And I'm sitting there just as shocked as I can be. And I thought, did he just pull a gun on something that wasn't there? Are both of them crazy and I'm the same one? Or am I crazy? You get to go, you get to thinking like that. I got back in the car. I said, what'd you do? He said, I tried to help somebody out best I could. I said, why? Why would you? He said, I love people. I love people. Get what I just told you. I love people. Me and Brother Red went to somebody's house to take them something one day here, and they were cussing me when I knocked on the door. Done called me wanting something, cussing me on the door. That's after I heard my name. I started getting in the car, and somebody said, you know you can't get in the car. I said, I know, Lord. Walk in there, take them to them, tell them God bless them, prayed with them, and walked out the door. Why? I learned something. God showed up in my house like that when I was like that towards him. And the affection of people, just like with her, just like with you, just like with those disciples, makes a difference. The second thing it makes a difference is, if you look down in verse 11, is the attitude of people. How you love and how you act. Verse number 11 says, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. The first witness showed up, and the attitude of the people was they believed not. Do you remember the first person that ever told you about Jesus Christ and how he could save you? It could have been a preacher, a friend, a relative, whatever. But I'm willing to say this, you probably didn't get saved that day. But God sent them.
Right.
The Lord said, go talk to this person, and they come talk to you. And you said, I've been baptized. Or whatever you told them, I don't know. Whatever you used to get them out of your face, whatever it was. Well, I believe. I go to church. I used to go to church. I remember it such a... Whatever it was, you told them to get out of your face. You told them. Your attitude was horrible. You're a liar. You're not saved. There was a guy told me one time, I'll never forget this. It's right around this church. I knocked on the door. I said, we'd like to invite you to Victory Baptist Church. You know what he said? He said, I go to church. I swear, he said, Victory Baptist Church. And I thought, did you hear what I just told you? I go to Victory Baptist Church. I'm the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. How do we not know each other? And I said, well, I tell you what. You like that church? He said, yeah. I said, you need to keep going then. I hadn't seen him since. Before, I never met the guy that day. I went to a lady's house, you know, this is vintage stuff here, 1995, July 12th, 1995 stuff here. A week later, I'm thinking, you know, walk out the door, conquer the world, visit everybody. Everybody's going to get saved and come to church, right? Get gloriously saved, lay down all their sin, come. I thought I should go to the roll of the church first, people I didn't know their names. Walked over this door over on Burnt Gin Road, I believe it was, one of the roads off of it. Go to this trailer. The door is open. Knock on the side of the door. This little toddler comes up the door, barely speaking, with diapers on, says, hey. I said, hey. I said, is such and such home? Mama, are you home?
Uh-oh.
Mama's not home.
Yeah.
Now, if I would really believe that, I would have called the police. They've left a 2-year-old unattended.
Yeah.
You don't do that. That's dumb.
For
parents and perfected parents, don't do that. It's hard enough to leave a 17 or 15-year-old home, much less a 2-year-old, but they really can't take up for themselves. And I walked away from that door thinking, why would somebody do that? The attitude of people are horrible. Why would you tell your kid to lie like that? And what kind of person are you that you send a 2-year-old to the door to answer the door to get away from people? The attitude of people, they believe not. The first time somebody showed up at your house, what'd you say? I'm saved, I'm baptized, I'm a member of a church somewhere, I'm not here. I remember our little trip we used to do. I didn't like to lie to people, so I'd done it indirectly. If I saw the preacher pulling in the driveway, you know what I did? I cut the TV off and got real quiet. And thank God if the phone rung, because that way he could hear the phone ringing and nobody answered it, so he'd know I wasn't there. See what I'm saying? I didn't lie outright, but years later I thought, boy, I was a worse liar if I'd looked at his face and said, I'm baptized, I'm saved, I go, you know, lying.
Yeah.
And when I finally get saved, guess what's never happened since? No preacher shows up trying to lead me to Jesus anymore. God sends them to the lost. Now I'm saved. I don't get a business like that. I hadn't had one in 30 years. Isn't that crazy? You get saved, now they won't come around you. Or they're not sent to you for that anymore. And I'm sitting there, you know, and as life goes on, I get saved. The night I got saved, I was at Ronald McDonald House in Greenville while Justin was in the hospital over there at Greenville Memorial. I think it's called Prisma or some business like that now, whatever it's called. And the only thing I could think of is that night I got saved. Boy, I wish I'd have listened way back when. I wish I'd have got saved before I was old enough to get into the messes I got into. I wish I'd have been in the church house and had a chance to walk down the aisle and get saved. I wish them times I'd went to church and God dealing with me, I'd have walked that aisle and got saved that day. Oh, but I knew better. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I ain't going to get into that stupid religious stuff. Yeah, I showed them, didn't I? I was in such a mess, I couldn't bail me out.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? The attitude was horrible.
That's right.
God sent a witness. I didn't listen.
Yeah.
Just like they didn't listen, just like you didn't listen. But wait, there's more coming. Look at verse 12. Here's the second witnesses. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. There they come. There's the second witnesses. If you'll hold your place here, look over at Luke chapter 24. I'm going to show you what happens here. Luke chapter 24. Man, the Lord's good. He's over there working with them so they can go work with the crowd he just sent her to. And over here in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? What were they sad about? Somebody died. Their Savior was dead. The one that was going to deliver them out of the hands of the Romans had now been crucified. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said to them, what things? Did he know what things they were talking about? Of course he did. What's he doing? Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Did God know where Adam was at in the Garden of Eden that day? Sure he did. What's he wanting to do? Wanting to come out of hiding. Come clean with him. And he said, and they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which is a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. Oh, footnote here, he did. They were already redeemed. They just didn't know it, like most people know today. Listen, you can be saved. The bill's been paid. Will you take the payment? It says, and beside all this, today is the what day? Third day, the day he said he'd get up from the grave from. Since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. He's standing right there. They knew who he was 3 days ago, but now he's sitting there talking, they don't know. You know what this is called? Hiding in plain sight. Just right there in front of them. They don't know. Then he said to them, O fools, and slow of what? What's that word? A problem that everybody has. Slow of heart. Not slow of head. Slow of heart. I'll tell you something that you may not know. God takes care of folks that have mental problems.
Amen.
If they can't speak, they can't do anything, don't worry about them. Worry about you. I used to know this guy that I grew up with in church. He's a mentally retarded person. And I'm going to tell you something. He didn't go crazy in service. He completely flipped out half the time when they got to singing certain songs. Not every time, just certain things get a hold of him. So what was that? I guess that he got something from heaven that everybody else was wanting but was afraid to do. I guess. He couldn't communicate what was going on. I preached for Brother Rusty Wooten down in Georgia, and they had this girl in there. She's handicapped like my kids are. She couldn't talk and make coherent sentences in a wheelchair, cerebral palsy. And she'd go, yeah, yeah, all the time. And the most amazing thing about that child, she would do that from the time they brought her in the door, set her there. You start preaching, she got quiet. During the invitation, quiet. The last amen said, yeah. Yeah, you tell me. Does God take care of them kids? You better believe he does. Now let's deal with the rest of us who are not like that. God takes care of you. You know how I know? He's done sent the first witness. Now he's getting other ones prepared to come to your door. Here they are. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now he's got them in the book. At the time, that's all they had was Moses and the prophets. What'd he do? Took them through it. Here I am, here I am, here I am. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. Boy, don't you like this? God just showed up on them like that. Jesus just showed up after the resurrection and said, what y'all so sad about? Tell me all about it. And you know what God wants you to do? Dear friend, he wants you to tell him all about it. I've heard people say, I just can't go to the Lord. I'm mad at God. Tell him. Get you someplace and look towards heaven and tell him where you stand and what you feel. Tell him all about it. God, I'm mad at you. Tell him he can take it. He ain't like you. He ain't going to say, well, I'm offended. You say that to me and I ain't never speaking to you again. I'm going to unfriend you on Facebook. Watch my eyes. Wait a minute. You call me and say that again, I'll block you on my phone. You will. You'll never call me again. What will I ever do? You've blocked me on Facebook. I'm going into depression. You've blocked my number. Let me tell you something. You can block my number all you want to. You can unfriend me on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, and True Social Media. Amen. Give a shout out right there. You can unfriend me or whatever you do is on Twitter when you don't like somebody or tweet you twit or whatever. I don't care what you do. But you need to go to the Lord and tell him all about that. You'll never unfriend him and block him. He'll still keep knocking at your door till the day you die.
Come on.
You know why he does that? Remember that thing about affection? He has it first.
That's right. Amen.
And when we see these disciples, he gets to talking to them. What it is, he's preparing these people to do something. Go back over to Mark chapter 16. Here's what he's preparing them for. It says in Mark chapter 16, verse 13, and they went and told unto the residue, the disciples, the 11 that's holed up in there mourning and weeping, that's already had the first witness, the people that's gathered around them and say, oh yeah, it was hard. We all hurting now and all this. He said, well, we're here to tell you he's alive.
Yeah.
How do you know? We just talked to him. Where? On Emmaus Road.
Yep.
We don't believe you. Let me ask you a question. If unbelief is the problem, and it is, it said it was, they did not believe, how do you fix that? You know, if a tire tears up on your car, there's several ways to fix that, right? If you get a flat tire, what do you do? And don't say call roadside assistance. That's not the answer. Did somebody say a spare tire? You get mad. That's what I was really looking for. You get mad first. Like, I can't believe my tire did that. Well, you got three other chances. Guess what? One of them will do it as soon as you get mad. But anyway, you pull over on the side of the road there. You got a flat tire. You get out. You get the spare. You kick the stupid tire that blew out. Say amen right there. And don't throw it away because you got to put that in your trunk and get another one put on that thing there. So don't mess up too bad. And you put the thing on there. And you keep going.
Right.
I have had people get flat tires in their life that left the car and didn't go back.
Huh. Yeah.
Why would you do something that dumb? I know a guy right there will give you $50 for it if it's a piece of junk. He'll haul it all for you too. If I was that mad, he'd come get it. I wouldn't throw it away. But listen to me. When you're going down the road and something happens, you got to have a fix. I heard a man talking this morning. It was Dr. Tom Maloney. He's preaching on revival. And he said this. He said he grew up in a place in the South called Northern Alabama. Y'all ever heard of Alabama before? Anybody from Alabama here? Well, I won't tell no jokes. This ain't nobody here from Alabama. But he said this. He said, there are people up north. He is in Michigan when he said this. He said, some of you believe it's never cold in the South. He said, at night, you could look through the walls and see the outside. This is the 1940s, 1930s, poor era. You could look to the outside and see, you could look to the wall and see the outside without having to look through the window. He said, at night, if it was a full moon, you could see beams of light coming in through the roof. He said, but when it rained, boy, there's pots and pans all over the floor everywhere catching that water. Get this. He said, I learned very early on that he was raised by old farmer grandpa that told him, Tom, at 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, grandpa got up at 4, called his name, and you know what the word Tom meant back then? It meant get the fire started, it's cold in this house. He said, we worked from the time I got out of bed from 4 o'clock all the way to dark. And he told him and his brother, he said, when they got teenagers, he said, you boys can do anything y'all want to after we get done working. He said this, after we got done working, he said, I crawled towards that farmhouse and crawled in that old feather bed and I didn't move till he said, Tom again. You know why we in such mess right now? We don't have people to keep us accountable. If you're going to keep doing that, just go on then. Well, I once had told Grandpa that. See, y'all use these electric razors and stuff. Back then, they used these things called a straight razor. And you had to learn a skill when you learned to shave. I mean skilled labor. But you couldn't run down to Walgreens and get a replacement for said razor because, number one, you couldn't afford it because you had this piece of leather out there in the shack, the old utility shack back there. You got to sharpen that razor with that leather. But if they said, go out to the building, I'll be there in a minute, they're going to sharpen you with that leather. You know what you'd do? Tom, get in the fire, Grandpa. One time, all it took. They'd call that name. They wouldn't know 10,000 times and pouring water on you like my... Well, I ain't going to say my daddy done that. That would be child abuse. But maybe the statute of limitations has run out, Dad. I don't know. I don't want to say. But I know this. He'd call his name and he'd respond. You know what I've learned about the Lord over the years? He's the best father there is for you to have. He has affection for you and he wants to fix your attitude where he can call your name and get you to do anything. The only problem you have is unbelief. How do you fix that? Look over at Romans chapter 10. Here's how you fix it. Romans chapter 10. If unbelief is the problem, and it is, he said the problem is unbelief over there, then to fix unbelief, we'll make it where to fix you. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. If you back up to verse 13, I'll get the whole context for you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Unbelief. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How do you hear about it? Somebody's got to tell you. Who's going to tell you? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Here it goes. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And then he quotes the Old Testament. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Here's the fix right here. Here's the tool that's going to tighten up the bolt. Here's the thing that's going to not fix the spare, but replace it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There comes a time in your life in which you look around your life and say, I have completely messed this thing up. Here's how you fix it right here. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If this is the fix to the problem, then get the toolbox out. There's a man told me one time, he said, you can pretend you're making, at the time we was all $3.35 an hour, circa 1987 minimum wage. He said, you can fix a problem by telling yourself you make $18 an hour, but when you get your check, you're still making minimum wage. He said, if you want to do something in life, set you some goals and get after them. But he said, more importantly, you got to believe in God to see it happen. Unbelief. You know why everything's like that? Unbelief. How do I fix it? You got to believe. How do I believe? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It wasn't a drug addict that came to me and said, you need to be saved. And I listened to him because I was a drug addict. The guy that led me to the Lord, you will never believe this in a million years. I was on cocaine, LSD, marijuana, all that stuff. And listen, don't ever tell me you can't be addicted to marijuana. I do not believe you. You know why? Because I spent 10 years of my life as a slave to that garbage. I'd break in your house and take everything you got to sell it and go get it. Don't tell me that stuff. You say, wait a minute, addiction's all in your mind. Now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. So what was the problem up there? Unbelief. How do we fix it? By the Word of God. Wait a minute, preacher, you just started reading. No, I wouldn't read the Bible. But the guy that led me to Christ did. You know what he did? He didn't smoke. He didn't drink. He didn't, listen, he wasn't an adulterer. He wasn't none of them things I was. I don't even think the guy, if you brought it to him and showed it to him, I don't think he'd know what none of that stuff was. But he knew something I didn't know, and it may be something you don't know. He knew Jesus. And Jesus sent him my way, and he sent him my way, and he sent him my way, and he sent him my way, and I wouldn't listen. Finally, I said, you know what? I'm going to call that guy because I believe that guy cares something about me. After all that time, he come and showed me what the Bible said, and you know what I did? I asked the Lord to save me. And you know what God did? He saved me. Amen. And he'll save you. Why? Because if unbelief's the problem, I just told you how to fix the problem. It takes a God-called preacher preaching the Word of God, and that seed's got to be put there, and the Lord will take it from there. Well, if you're a former drug addict, you can come talk to my friend that's a drug addict. Won't work. And that ain't what gets it. It's faith in Jesus Christ that does the job. Well, you could at least get him to quit taking drugs and he quit wearing me to death. Sorry, but God ain't into behavior modification to make you feel better. He ain't going to do it, not now, not ever. He's interested in souls going to heaven.
Right.
He's interested in people getting saved and following him. Just because you're annoyed, God probably don't care. He's not, oh, that bothers me. Big deal. Guess what bothers God? Abortion bothers God. Why? They're killing babies. Defenseless babies. You know what I saw this week on the news? I saw somebody out in front of, standing in front of one of these Catholic churches up in New York City, acting like they were pulling afterbirth out from under this little skirt they had on, and said, you have no right to tell me to kill this thing. Honey, you was a thing one time too.
Right.
Have you ever noticed, let me quote Ronald Reagan, have you ever noticed that everybody that's for abortion has already been born? What is that? Unbelief. Unbelief. Listen to me. If you have unbelief, this is what will help you. Oh, I'm saved, preacher, but I'm having some belief problems. Will it help me? Jesus Christ says this. Through His Word, through His precious Word, all of them inspired by the Word of God, that we're cleansed by the washing of the Word of God. Some of you just need to take a bath in it. And I do not mean throw the Bible in the bathtub and hop in. Although that probably wouldn't hurt some of you, bless God. I'm telling you, listen. But here's the thing. Let this book clean you up. Don't let my, quote, standards clean you up. Because you know why? One day you'll get mad at me and say, I ain't doing that no more. He said that. But if God said it, you can't exactly run away from it.
Right.
I don't like how he said something. I don't like how you heard me say it either. But anyway, let God do that. One of the greatest truths you'll ever hear is this. Unbelief's your problem. The Bible's how you fix it. If it's being lost, he can show you how to be saved and show you how to have faith to believe in the right way. And the right way is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All these other religious leaders, they don't have a holiday where they celebrate and then get up from the dead. Worldwide, check it out. Only one got up from the dead. And that was the Lord. And he's alive and well. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.